Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Happy Monday. I'm Greg Hahn, President, Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. And with me is Adam Coons, technical support for a remote podcast call this morning. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
Special guest. We have a special guest this morning, Tim Bond, calling in from Columbus, Ohio.
Tim, good morning. Yeah,
There's a lot of coordination that goes into this because of trying to isolate all the different lines that happen. So Adam is back at the control center coordinating that. So thank you, Adam, for all that. Good morning, everybody. We got a lot to cover this morning. Wanted to talk a little bit about the economy and then cover what's going on in the equity market and then start to unpack some of the investment themes. With that, we're going to need to probably touch on retail and the retail sector and the energy sector if we've got time, but there's a lot to cover in here, as well as what's going on in the credit markets. So let me be very, very brief. You know that our longtime listeners know that how we view this economy and this recovery of the pandemic is one of the critical factors is the labor market. And while the labor market has shown significant recovery since April, we are starting to see signs of a slowdown, which is concerning. So we are right now at about a 6.6% or 6.7% unemployment. And so we've got a 100 in the peak. There was 152 million workers. It dipped down to 130 million. We are 6.6 below pre-crisis levels, and that's really starting to slow. And that still is a worse figure from where we were during the Great Recession in 2008 and 2009. So the market here is heading into the fourth quarter, which is where we would see a pickup in retail sales. Is troublesome. The other thing we're seeing is that companies are holding the purse strings tight going into the fourth quarter, and we're seeing what we were concerned with was an increase in layoffs. So in order to protect profit margins, so we're seeing that seems to have slowed down a little bit. But with that as kind of a backdrop, in looking at this pandemic and where we are right now in terms of just the growing number of cases, the impact it's going to have on just economic activity. Let's unpack that this morning. Adam, I'm going to turn it over to you. What's on your plate this morning?
Yeah, so, I mean, markets just continue to be in rally mode, whether it's stocks or credit. But on the stock side, earnings have been fairly strong relative to expectations. We're pretty much wrapping up the season, and so far we've had 83% of companies beat Wall Street earnings expectations and 77% have beaten their sales estimates. So that's driving some of the rally. And then additionally, as it should be no surprise to anyone, the number of vaccines and the efficacy of those vaccines has really been a driver of kind of the recovery and the stocks that have lagged over the last 6 months. But with that, I mean, the Dow last week went into positive territory for the year. So it's above 29,000. And I know there's a lot of talk about the NASDAQ and the fact that, you know, there has been heightened volatility, but it's important to still consider the fact that it's up, over 25% year to date and is only 2% off of its all-time highs. So despite that perceived volatility, it really hasn't dropped that much.
So, Congress has not been able to come to terms on a fiscal stimulus package. There's there's been a push, and the Fed's been vocal about this, the need for additional fiscal stimulus. What's the impact? How much of the market right now is focused on the expectation for additional fiscal stimulus once we have a president in office in January? Is that factoring into this?
It So far, you know, I think in the first week after the elections, I think that was a bigger piece of it. I think the narrative right now is driven by the vaccine, but that'll be somewhat short lived as we continue to get, you know, fairly weak economic data. And so I think as we head into the end of the year, that is going to be the more significant driving factor of what markets do.
Because once we get a vaccine, I mean, you know, when Fauci is saying April, it still is going to take, I mean, it'll take years for the airline industry to recover and business travel to pick up. It's not going to happen instantaneously. It's going to be a slow plod. Now, there's clarity around things like rock concerts and football games and things like that.
Yeah. And I think, and, you know, even last week, the New York Metropolitan MTA came out and said that they were going to cut, you know, nearly 10,000 jobs and 40% of their routes because they can't make it through year end without stimulus. So there's a point where, yeah, you're right, is regardless of a vaccine, that's a long term fix. In the near term, there's plenty of companies that can't survive.
Yeah. And that's one of the bigger municipal issues too. So we're going to cover that in a bit. Adam, what else is on your plate then?
Yeah. So just on the earnings side, we did have a few big ones, and then I know we'll turn it over to Tim to talk about some retail, but we had Walt Disney report. The big number there was ESPN subscribers were at 10.3 million versus an expectation of 9.2. So we are seeing continued increases in the ESPN, despite the fact that sports, you know, have kind of been slow to pick up with COVID. And then also just the ratings in general have been poor once they did start back. It's no surprise that parks were down. The revenue for parks was down 61%. That was completely, you know, expected. But going forward is really the key driver of, you know, vaccines, what's open, what's closed, on what's going to happen, both in studio, because they put a lot of things on halt with so many cinemas closed, and then obviously parks, you know, how much can they open? Do they stay open?
They're going to hand out vaccines at the gates when you get a ticket to get into Disney theme parks.
Right. So I think with that, let's turn over to Tim, talk about retail earnings.
So, Tim, we had big retail company announcements last week. We've got more coming this week. What are you seeing in the retail sector, and how does that impact equities right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So year to date, we're right around 50 retail U.S. bankruptcies. Guitar Center announced this weekend. So it's very, very ugly just from a bankruptcy perspective. Obviously, you know, going into the year, none of these firms expected that. So what they've done here in the third quarter is announced a lot of enhancements to the liquidity, to cut expenses, to get try to get the cash flow kind of break even or even generate cash flow in a very, you know, stressful, you know, environment. But I think the stat of the week here is the growth in consumer spending on goods for the year is actually positive 7.2%. But a lot of that has gone into spending for things that you need to stay at home, right? So non-store retailers, October sales are up, 29% year over year. Clothing and clothing accessories are down 13% year over year. So, there's definitely a have or have not type of environment for retailers at this point.
So we got Best Buy this week, don't we?
Best Buy, Nordstrom's, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Best Buy, I mean, the last 10 years of Christmas sales has all been centered around electronics, so Best Buy is going to be really important. I think Dick's Sporting Goods announces also this week, Tuesday.
Yes. Yep, so we have a couple kind of fishing up their earnings, but of course, those that, are supplying people that are home, what they need. The big box retailers have done well. Amazon, Walmart, Target came out with great earnings last week. It really surprised myself and a lot of people just how strong their earnings were. So,
yeah, that's one that we got wrong. We punted on Target several years ago when management was just tripping over themselves, and they actually did get their act together and put together a web solution, an online presence that really has gotten some traction now, hasn't it?
Absolutely. It's been an impressive turnaround.
Hey, let me shift, Tim, while we got you on this call, is on the energy sector. You've done a lot of work in the energy space. How important is energy, just, I guess, oil prices right now as it relates to where we are in the economy and the health of the energy sector?
Yeah, you know, investing in energy is just kind of tough because, you know, commodities are rarely in equilibrium. So, you know, it's been a volatile year with, you know, negative energy oil prices seen, you know, early this year, you know, and, you know, with this kind of pandemic flaring up again and lockdowns, especially in Europe, affecting demand again and driving patterns, you know, it's kind of tough to kind of know where oil, you know, should end up. But, yeah, you know, just purchasing an index product to kind of invest in energy is just something that you don't want to do. You really have to dig into it. So that's what we've kind of spent a lot of time doing, right? So Understanding like the four different subsectors of energy, you know, the independents, integrated companies, midstream, and then all service providers, and how they, you know, each have, you know, completely separate fundamentals and kind of serve different parts of the energy market.
So some of these companies we've looked at, Tim, can they support their dividend and still pay down debt? And some of these dividends like Chevron and Exxon are you know, these are really high dividends in today's market. Can they continue to support them?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, you're going to need to see a recovery in prices even from current levels. You know, in the United States, the only, you know, kind of a field that's able to generate profitability is the Permian. You know, the good thing about those larger, you know, firms like Exxon is they have holdings all over the world. So it kind of isolates them from, you know, just being exposed to any one region. But, yeah, when you are trying to, you know, cover that dividend and the cash flows just aren't going to rebound like they were, you know, last year, it's going to be tough for them. But they'll try to go as far as long as they can and hope that you see some recovery in the commodity space in the oil rebounding. Yeah.
I wanted to shift and just cover a few investment themes for next year. This is not a comprehensive list, but as we start to build out what our investment themes are for investors next year, wanted to kind of highlight some areas. And one is and you guys tell me if you're in agreement or disagreement on this. So for our listeners, this is how we do this. This is the first time reveal as we build this out. But the economic growth in the first half of next year is going to continue to be low. While we figure out how to what the intersection of the coronavirus with a rollout of a vaccine, what that looks like. But that means the second half of the year, we probably would see a pickup. And then the second, and related to that, is the labor market is the key, one of the keys to the sustained growth. And then with the improvement in the second half of the year, we expect to see an increase in labor. So we're looking for traction in the economy second half of next year. What that means for interest rates, this would be the third theme, is that rates would stay low. Credit spreads would remain tight. And then we've got a growing number of zombie companies. Those are companies that they've got revenue, but it's not enough revenue growth or enough growth in cash flows to support a pay down in debt and also to pay their dividend. And some of these companies, Tim, I think are in the energy space. Comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I see them all across these industries that have been affected by COVID. So it could be anything from a Macy's, from Exxon, you kind of brought that up, to Carnival, to American Airlines, right? It's these companies that, you know, really had a decent amount of leverage going in. They've had to lever up even more to kind of bolster liquidity. And it just remains to be seen if the cash flows are there to maintain, you know, a solvency. So, with interest rates staying low, that could kind of benefit them and they could kind of, you know, continue to operate for a long period of time. But, It's just going to be a constant struggle to delever coming out of this this crisis.
Yeah. Did you see the trade association for the airlines said, I think it was an $80 billion number that they still, the airlines still need to be able to make ends meet through that.
Yeah. American Air, United, they're burning 25 million a day, you know, so they're, they want that demand to come back to at least to get the, you know, cash flow break even. It's just, you just can't tell when that's going to be. So. Yeah.
And one, so two other themes, and this is a little harder, but on the international side, we've been pretty negative on international over the last several years following the financial crisis in 2008, 2009, especially in Europe, because the growth has just been abysmally slow. We expect economic growth in Europe to be challenged. And they're battling the second wave of this coronavirus right now, and it does not look good, especially in areas like Italy and Spain. We've always believed Italy is the canary in the coal mine for Europe, and its financial position continues to deteriorate. And I think their gross debt to GDP now is over 150%. It's just spiked significantly over the last 3 years. But the one that we're focused on now is China, and this will be a theme that we build out. As China grows on the global stage and their trade programs grow more successful, the currency, we've always kind of played down the use of the yuan as a reserve currency because it's not linked to the international payment system. However, I think that it has the potential now to grow as more trade is settled in yuan as China demands that. And that as compared to the US dollar and euro, it's going to be another competitor. And that's really a reflection, I think, of China's trade position. So China's growth opportunities over the next decade, I think, remain significant. And as an investment, it's going to be interesting, but ways to invest in China and stay protected are going to be part of our theme. So with that, Adam, is there anything that you'd add to that?
No, I mean, I agree with you, especially on the China piece. It's just, you look at the competitiveness of them and how they're, you know, truly going after our major industries. And they're going to be a increased player across all competitive.
So as we head into December, we'll, for our listeners, we'll build out what our investment themes look like and start to build out what the economic outlook and capital market outlooks for 2021 looks like. So with that, guys, I want to thank you for joining us. Tim, thanks for hopping on with us. And for our listeners, you guys have a great week, a short week. We're closed Thursday and Friday. And I think does the bond market close early on Wednesday? Adam, do you know?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Short week, guys. Have a great week. Thank you.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.